If you'd turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It will be our text for this morning, and basically two words that I want you to remember are in the first verse, in verse number 5. It says this in verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Shall we pray? Our Father, we pray that you would open our eyes to receive that which you have for us, that your Holy Spirit would teach our spirit the things that you would have for us to do, and that we would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our heart might be his heart. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. It says this, "For this they are willingly ignorant." Did you ever see that? Willing ignorance. Now there's lots of kind of ignorance. Somebody doesn't know. They've never been taught. They've never had anybody try to teach them. And so they're ignorant. They don't know. This is not that kind of ignorance. This is ignorance by an act of the will. I want to be ignorant about this particular matter. There are three general types of deceptions which we face. Number one, we can be deceived by others. Joshua chapter 9, you read about the Gibeonites as the people of Israel were coming into possession of the land after the wilderness wanderings. And the Gibeonites come along and they went to the city dump before they arrived, and they picked up some old clothes and some old worn out raggedy stuff and old wineskins and old bread and old food. It was old, moldy and rotten. And they said to the people of Israel and to Joshua in particular, "We've been on a long, long journey. We came from a long ways away from here, and we want to make a peace treaty with you guys." And the Bible says Joshua looked at the evidence. That's a problem sometimes, because the evidence can be rigged. And in this particular case, the evidence was rigged. They got the evidence out of the dump. But they said the bread came new out of our ovens. It was a lie. And Joshua said, and the Bible says, and he asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. In other words, he didn't say, "God, these people want to make a peace treaty with me. Should I do it or no?" God said, "You shall not make any peace treaty with the inhabitants of the land. You're supposed to destroy them." The Gibeonites were supposed to be destroyed. But Joshua was deceived because he looked at the evidence, the rigged evidence. You remember when Joseph's brothers shipped him off to Egypt? They had to explain to Dad what happened to Joseph. So they killed a lamb, took Joseph's coat, tore it up a little bit, dipped it in the blood, and they go to Dad. They say, "Dad, we found this coat out in the field. Do you know whose coat this is?" They didn't lie to him, did they? Well, they didn't. They didn't. They just made it appear to be other than it was. They said, "Do you know whose coat this is?" Well, they knew whose coat it was. Jacob knew whose coat it was. But Jacob arrived at the wrong conclusion because the evidence was rigged. And you know, we can do the same thing. We can be deceived when we look at the evidence, when the evidence is rigged. And somebody presents that to us in order to deceive us. So their intention, as Brother Phil mentioned, is to lie to us, but they didn't actually lie to us. I was in a church in Philadelphia, downtown Philadelphia, and when I got back home, I was talking to someone, and they said, "That church you were in, I hear that the pastor is having sexual relationships with a pianist." And I said, "Who told you that?" And they told me. And they said, do you think that's true? And they said, that guy said the church isn't going to do anything about this. I said, yeah, that's true. The church shouldn't do anything about it. And they said, what? I said, the pianist is the pastor's wife. I hope they have a sexual relationship once in a while. But you know what? It wasn't a lie, but the way it was told, somebody's reputation was damaged. And I said to the person that told me, I said, whoever told you, you need to go back and straighten this thing out. You know what they told me? I didn't know the pastor's wife could play the piano. And I'm like, come on. Deceived. Because somebody wants to deceive us. We're not talking about that kind of deception this morning. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may become wise. The Bible says we can be self-deceived. We can lie to ourselves. We can choose a lie. And we say this lie is truth. And we really believe the lie to be truth. We don't know it's a lie because we have told it to ourselves. And of course, because I tell it to myself, it's got to be truth, but I am self-deceived. And that can happen to us. We're not talking about that kind this morning. We're talking about this kind, willing deception. For this they willingly are ignorant of. It simply means this: they are not deceived, but have chosen to believe that which they know to be a lie because they like it better than the truth and it's more comfortable than the truth. You know what our objective is in life? Is to be comfortable. That's the whole purpose of life, just so that I'm comfortable. God, make me comfortable. That's your job, God. I've got to be comfortable. Now, I run across some truth in God's word, and I'm really not comfortable with that truth. But I want to be comfortable. And God's not interested in our comfort. He's interested in our holiness and our righteousness that comes from walking in His way and obeying His Holy Spirit. That's what He's interested in. But we're interested in comfort. God, got to be comfortable here. God, this thing doesn't like, I'm really not comfortable with this. It said there are those people who have, by an act of their will, chosen ignorance, lies, in spite of the overwhelming evidence of the truth. In other words, there's no way in the world you're going to convince me of truth, because I have chosen a lie. And I'm going to believe in a lie, and I know it's a lie, and there's no way in the world you're going to convince me anything about truth. That's why it is so hard for us to reach so many people today, because they have chosen willingly ignorant a lie. Isaiah 28 and verse 15 says this: because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. Listen carefully. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. They say, we have lies and falsehood. We know that they're lies and they're falsehood, and that's where we're going to have protection, refuge from the truth. I don't want truth. Lies. Falsehood. That's what I love. We're like, whoa, what is this? It's called willing ignorance. No deception by somebody else. No deception by themselves, but they look at the truth and they say, that's an awful truth. That's a scary truth. Psalm 62:4, they consult only to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Isaiah 30, verses 10 through 11, which say unto the seers, prophets, people who preach the word of God, see not, in other words, watch this truth business. We don't want this truth business. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Tell me some kind of lie. Get rid of truth. Lies. Isn't it amazing that's what we have today? We're trying to share truth, and people say, you know, truth is uncomfortable. You know, you're talking to me about this Savior. You know, I'm uncomfortable about that. We talk to people about holiness and being conformed to the image of Christ, and that's uncomfortable. You know, I like my comfort where I am. Tell me something smooth. Pastor Brainerd, don't preach to me the truth. You know, because when you do that, I get uncomfortable. And I go home and the Holy Spirit's working me over and it takes me a while to shut his mouth. Excuse the bad language, but that's what we tell him really. Prophesy unto us smooth things, deceits. Tell us any kind of lie at all. We'll be good. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Tell me some kind of story. Any kind of story. Just make sure that there's no truth in the story. It's a fable. Totally manufactured thing. Because then I'll be comfortable. You see, what I want is to be comfortable. And truth, when we're not walking in truth, has a tendency to make us uncomfortable in our walk, and the purpose that God does that is conviction so that we walk in the right way. But we just walk away from it and we say, I would rather be willing to ignorant as long as I'm comfortable. And a lot of the times the people that we're talking to try to share with them the gospel or help them grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ get to the same place. Just comfort, you know. Bring on the comfort. There are lies that people have chosen to hide behind. Number one, there is no God. Say, prove to me there's a God. Prove to me that there isn't. If you're alive, God's alive. When God's dead, you'll be dead a long time before that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Isaiah 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Listen carefully to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. The invisible things of him from the creation. When you look out at what God created in the world, in creation, the Bible says those things are clearly seen and are clearly understood by the things that are made. That's people. So that they, even God's eternal power and Godhead. In other words, there's things that you understand when you look at creation that are clearly seen, clearly understood about God. And then it says, so that they are without excuse. In other words, the evidence that God exists, his eternal power and Godhead are in creation. And nobody, any place in the world, has an excuse to say they don't know God. Now, I believe we still have to deliver the message to the world. God's very clear about that. But the first evidence of God is in his creation. Some people say God doesn't know everything I do. Genesis 16:13, and she, Hagar, called on the name of the Lord that spake unto her, and she said, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? You remember Moses, before he killed the Egyptian, it says, and he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in that sand. You know, a lot of times we do that. We look this way, and we look that way, and we don't see God around, and so we do something, because if we can't see God, God can't see us, right? How many have ever played peek-a-boo with a little one? How many aren't going to talk to me about it? That's what I figured. Watch, I can disappear. How many believe I can disappear? You watch. I'm going to disappear. Watch. Before long, I'm going to disappear in just a second. Ready? You can't see me anymore. I disappeared. You know what a little kid does? They pull your hands away and they say, I see you. Watch, disappear. You know what? We do the same thing to God. We say, God, you can't see me. And God says, little kid, I can see you fine. We treat him like he's blind, like he's not omniscient, that he's not omnipresent, that he's not all-seeing. And the person that's blind is us. God can't see me. God doesn't know everything I do. This passage of Scripture, our text, has to do with the creation of the world and the flood. A lot of people don't believe in God, Creator. The Bible is very clear about that many, many times. It says, God says, I am the Creator. I made the heavens and earth. I heard an evolutionist one time when I was flipping through channels, and he said, you know, I've thought about this God creative thing, and the thing that's scary about this is that takes a really, really, really big God. And that scares me. Now, let me be careful here, but let me explain something to you. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we don't know that big God. We've cut him down to our size. How big is God? Well, he stands about 6 foot, about the same height as me. And he's a little smarter than me, and he's a little more stronger than I am, and he's a little more intelligent than I am, but, you know, he's just a little bigger than me. And in that sense, the evolutionist has it right. In order for that God to create what you're saying he created, he's got to be an awful, awful, big, powerful God. And the evolutionist said, that scares me. But what we do so he's not so scary is we cut him down to size. Make him a little smaller. So that we're comfortable with him. And the bigger God is made in people's mind, the scarier they get if the relationship is not right with him. So they destroy the relationship. They say there was no worldwide flood. You'll like this. In Colorado, Rocky Mountain National Park, at elevation 12,000 feet, National Park Ranger, there was a local alluvial flood right here, 12,000 feet. Hang on to that. Colorado Springs, Colorado, Pikes Peak, elevation 14,110 feet. National Park Ranger, local alluvial flood right here. Yeah, that's good. Moab National Park, Arches National Park in Moab, Utah. Elevation 8,000 feet, National Park Ranger, local alluvial flood right here. Oh, okay. Black Canyon of the Gunnisons National Park, Montrose, Colorado. Elevation 7,000 feet, local alluvial flood right here. Mesa Verde National Park in New Mexico. Elevation 7,500 feet, local alluvial flood right here. Oh. Grand Canyon National Park, 7,000 feet. Local alluvial flood created this canyon. Question, sir. Hydrologically, how do you stack water like that? Do you understand that? There's columns of water, 14,000, 110 feet in the air, and everything else in the world is dry. Wonderful. I love that. I go home sometimes and look in the mirror and say, are you really look that stupid that people tell you that kind of stuff and actually expect you to believe it? You know why? Because a lie is better than the truth. Isn't the rainbow a beautiful thing? You know what it tells me? God hates sin. And a nation or a people or a world can get so wicked that God will destroy them. I wonder where we are in relationship to the fire coming down the highway. Where are we? See, but that's not comfortable. God loves everybody, no matter how you live, no matter what a country does, what a nation does. God's never going to hurt anybody. God wouldn't do that. Have you ever read through the major prophets and the minor prophets recently and notice that the scripture says that you can anger God as a nation and God can destroy it like he did the nation of Israel? Like he has done a lot of other nations in the history of the world. But we don't have to worry about America because America is immune and that would never happen here. There is no heaven or hell. You know, it always amazes me when people come up with this thing, well, we don't believe in that hell stuff. But somehow they believe in that heaven stuff. And the other thing that amazes me, that no matter how reprobate a person is, no matter how vile they are, no matter how much they hate God, they hate his truth, they curse him, and they die, and guess where they are? They're in heaven. And I'm like, whoa. Man, that must be neat. Why do they want to go there anyways? If they hate God, why do they want to go to heaven? I don't understand that. If God's people love God, then why are they so inconsistent in coming to church? Why do they want to go to heaven? Why do they want to go to heaven? You know, I mean, when you get to heaven, you'll probably worship God and praise him and sing songs of praise and hear fantastic music like you've never heard before in your life. Why are God's people who say they love God so inconsistent about going to church? They want to go to heaven. I don't understand that. The Bible says there's a hell, lots of places. It says it came to pass when the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and buried in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Of this, they are willingly ignorant. They don't want the truth. And when we're trying to share the truth with them of God's word, the more we try to share the truth with them, the more uncomfortable they become. And so what they're looking for is a place of comfort. And they begin to realize that the place of comfort is not in the place of truth, but they need to find some kind of a lie. And it's not that they are deceived by somebody else. And it's not that they are deceived by themselves. But with an act of their will, they said, we have made lies our refuge and falsehood They say to the prophets, the people who preach to them the word of God, preach unto us smooth things. Tell us lies. We want lies. And so the preacher preaches lies to them because that keeps them coming. It makes them comfortable. And that's the person's objective, but not God's objective. And it shall come to pass, come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves, which say to the seers, see not, and it means truth, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, we don't want the truth, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. You know what? There's going to be a problem with that. And that's in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 17. God says, judgment also will I lay the line and righteousness to the plummet. And hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. And the waters shall overflow the hiding place. You know, the day is going to come when the truth is going to triumph and the lies and the refuge of lies will be swept away. And of this, they are willingly ignorant, not deceived by someone else, by themselves, but they simply said, lie. We have made lies our refuge. That's why it's so hard to reach people when we've tried over and over and over again. And that's why they just kind of separate themselves from us. Or they tell us, I don't want to hear any more about this thing you're talking to me about. You know, don't talk to me about that. And they're tough. But God doesn't want us to give up on them. He loves them. He wants us to love them. Continue the truth. Because when people come to the knowledge of truth, there is freedom there. And with that freedom in truth is comfort in truth. And those of us who are God's people know what that is. We want to share it with others. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the truth that lies therein. We pray that you would help us as we labor in lives, that we might be used by the Holy Spirit as we share the message of the truth of the Word of God that sets men free, that they might be free indeed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.